for an embarrassingly long time, I had this idea. I look at my calendar and like next 5 weekends would be full or something like that. They weren't full of like working in the salt mines. I mean, they might be full of, you know, doing something fun with the kids or something like that. But I'd start to think, boy, if I just had a free day, if I just had a day with nothing to do. And I'd like, in my mind, I'd entertain this sort of idea of this free day that'd be so nice, right? Well, then the free day would come. I get up and I slowly kind of meander downstairs. I kind of finishing breakfast about the time we should be starting lunch. And then it's like mid-afternoon. I'm like, you know, it would have been fun. It would have been fun to go canoeing. But yeah, but now it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, right? Like you have to load the canoe and all that kind of stuff. And it took me a long time to realize that, hey, this wonderful free day that you want, you end up being so dissatisfied with that. And yet, if you exert a little discipline, then all of a sudden I come home with a story and something interesting, and like we did something and it was a very fulfilling day.
Hello and welcome back to the Be Unbound podcast. I'm your co-host, David Rethemeyer.
And I'm your co-host, Jonathan Brush.
And it is the new year, and so it is a time of resolutions and taking on new things, new challenges, and looking for ways to improve yourselves. And so we figured that we would take to this week's episode as an opportunity to talk about habits, because that's something that, especially at this time of year, is a very hot topic, and lots of people are talking about how they build habits and the importance of them. And so I don't feel like the importance of everyday habits is necessarily something that we have to do a whole lot of convincing of, but we were just sitting here talking about how there are a lot of perspectives and reasons why building daily habits and building those effectively can be really challenging for people and how we can seek to overcome those. So, Jonathan, I'll kick it over to you to see what your perspective is on that.
On about perspective, I'm just here for the interrogation. So, David,
are you
a person that kind of drives after habits? Like, do you like building new habits, or are you kind of like resistant to them? Like, what is your opinion on habits?
See, mine, if I am completely and fully honest, is that I like the benefits that daily habits bring. I like being able to feel the improvement and reap the rewards that a lot of those daily habits can actually end up giving you. I end up being resistant to them because just I have a lot of just, it tends to be a mental block for me of I have a lot of different things that I'm doing and that I'm working on, and it will be really hard for me to fit yet another thing into all of the other things that I'm doing, even if practically speaking, I could definitely make time. But yeah, so that's what I would say, is that I'm generally resistant because I have this mental thing where I feel like I have too many things going on and adding one more is going to be a lot, but I'm very interested in getting the benefits.
You want the outcomes, but you're scared of the work. I mean, you're not generally scared of hard work, but I mean, like, but you know, like there's an effort that comes with that.
Yeah.
So I would, as when I think about habits or building habits, I would say, you know, I think anybody's sort of scared of the work to some extent, but I actually have a different mental block with it, which is I don't like building habits because I feel like they're restrictive.
Mm.
Right? Like
they're restrictive.
Well, so I have this kind of deep-seated thought that, and it's just to spoil the ending here, I think this is incorrect, but I have this deep-seated thought that, you know, every day should be an adventure and, you know, kind of like this unknown excitement coming on. And so, like, if I have habits, I'm sort of scripting the day ahead of time and it sort of extracts the excitement out of it, right? Now, the reason I know that's wrong is that that's not the way I practically live. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, I generally am quite resistant to days that are full of brand new things because they're uncomfortable for different reasons, right? But yet at the same time, I feel like I kind of want to resist this habit. I want to get in this, you know, this routine. And then, David, there's one more just completely insane reason that I don't like habits. And that is I read too many Louis L'Amour Westerns as a kid. Have you read any Westerns as a kid?
I did read a few of those. Yes.
You know what happens in Westerns when you have a habit?
What happens, Jonathan?
You get bushwhacked, man. Like, you get shot from concealment, right? Like all those books, all those spy books, all those Westerns are always about, like, you know, the guy had the same routine every day. And so they set up and kidnapped him or ambushed him or whatever, right? And so, you know, you have to kind of change your routines up all the time. And that sounds really silly, but like at one point I was really struggling with this, and that was a big reason. Like, you know, I didn't want to get into patterns. Just for the record, as far as I know, there's never been a point in my life when any nefarious forces have found any need to ambush me doing anything.
I was
right?
going to say, I don't know what your past can change, Jonathan, but I didn't know that there was a point in your life where getting bushwhacked was a real concern in your day-to-day life.
It has never been, but yet, you got to admit, it would be a little more exciting if it was. It'd also be miserable, right? But there's a part of you that kind of, so there's this resilience to habits because like, well, I don't want to build this routine in that's going to like restrict my day and do all that. So you've got kind of like, I don't want to put this extra thing in, and I've got this, I don't want to, you know, build these habits that are going to restrict my day. And of course, the irony is that on the other side of those daily habits is the answer that both of us are looking for. Your day will be far less difficult if you have these habits in place, and my day will be far more available to do interesting things if we put these in place. And that's the part that's kind of fascinating to me, is that the very thing that makes me want to not do them is the thing that they deliver if done correctly. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I see what you're saying. Yeah, just because a lot of the time, the daily habits that we want to cultivate are things that will just generally, like, they're almost maintenance is the general category that I put them in. They help us to maintain our body if it's something like physical fitness or just like, you know, some form of physical self-care or mental habit, like doing something every day to like challenge your mind, you know, like learning a new language or something like that. But there's also just a lot of daily habits of just like, hey, there's things around the house where if I build this in as a regular habit, then it's a lot less likely that I'm going to have a huge project on my hands a few weeks down the road, and then I'm going to have a whole stressful thing that adds on to my day and makes it way harder for me to end up doing all the other things that I'm worried about including in my day. And so, and for you, there's once you're able to like maintain all those things, and then when you are able to create the space to actually like have a day that's open for the possibility of adventure, then you're able to enjoy those more fully, because then there's a far lower chance of something going wrong that you forgot to do because you've been maintaining everything else.
Yeah, exactly that. And then maybe just a little bit more press into this, because I think this is interesting. It's something I'm thinking about a little bit. So I'm going to just think out loud here because I don't have this fully developed. There are authors like Wendell Berry and others who really press this. And I think it's catching a little traction here recently. People are like, they're overwhelmed with life. This beautiful in the mundane, right? Right. This mm-hmm. kind of like deep satisfaction with daily life. And you see this with people that are really into coffee, right? Or really into the minimalism, or really into design of their space, right? Like what they're trying to do is they're trying to press some high quality things in their life so that the mundane has sort of a bigger appeal to it. And I think that there's something deep and true about that, because no matter how, you know, fortunately, most of us are not running around thinking we're going to get bushwhacked, including myself. and that in reality, if you ever talk to anybody that's lived in those such circumstances, they're miserable at the time. It's a great story afterwards, provided they didn't get bushwhacked, right? You know,
right.
So people, you don't really want to live there. Like, you don't want to be in that spot, right? And so the peaceful mundaneness is particularly valuable if you contrast it. I think if you talk to anybody who lives in Kyiv right now, they would be really interested in some mundane living. You know, anybody who lives in Ukraine, period, would be really interested in some very boring years. Anybody who lives in Nigeria would be interested in a pretty routine, boring year. And so I think that there is something important about that celebration of the mundane, the rejoicing in the fact that we are healthy, not in danger, you know, fed, all those kinds of things. And then I think also you don't fully appreciate that until you darn near been bushwhacked. Yeah, you know, in other words, like you've been ambushed, right? And so there is some aspect of life where you do need to seek out changes in routines. You do need to do something different. And that's exhilarating and exciting and interesting and good and gives you new perspective. And if done correctly, the result is you have a deeper appreciation for the mundane. And so my example for this is, you know, my family has not always, but frequently has gone to the beach, the Outer Banks of North Carolina, for a week. And I like going to the beach. I enjoy going there. And there's always this great excitement as we pack up and we drive out of the mountains and for us across the state into the eastern part of the country, down one state. We live in Virginia. And then we go to the Outer Banks. And then what is always, you know, and then, you know, the week's always a little too fast. And then you're leaving and you're always kind of wishing maybe we could stay another week. And yet for me, as I drive back and get in sight of the mountains, there's all of a sudden a pool that brings me back and a deep appreciation. I love the beach. And for those of you who love the beach most, that's totally fine. But I love visiting the beach and coming home to the mountains. And there's something about the beach that actually makes me appreciate the mountains more. I like the beach. I love the beach. And yet it's the contrast that makes me, I come home and I kind of go, I'm glad to be home because it does something different. Sometimes I'm on a work trip and it's been a really fun work trip. And maybe it's an Unbound work trip. And it's been a really great apex, a great base camp, a great ridgeline. And that's very exciting. And yet there's a, to come home and sleep in my own bed and to have the same routines and stuff. And so there's an interesting kind of underlying sense here of the celebration of the mundane and the necessity to almost be able to get perspective on the mundane by doing something different. And interestingly, both of those are linked by this reality. You will be able to appreciate the mundane more, and you'll be able to get the most out of those different events if you have a base set of habits, if you have this ability to kind of have a routine structure or foundation to build on. So I was thinking about what you said, David, about like having, you know, like to be ready type of thing. I like to ride, I have a motorcycle. I like to ride the motorcycle. And so there's routine maintenance that you have to do in a motorcycle. You have to change oil occasionally. You have to lube the chain. You have to tighten the chain. You have to keep air in the tires. Obviously, you have to keep around here when it gets cold, it nails motorcycle batteries. And so you have to have some sort of maintenance on the battery and stuff like that. And so, you know, that enables you to do routine things. So it means that when I got on the motorcycle and I ride into a work meeting or something like that, that, you know, when I get on and turns on, it rides. That's great. But it also means that when we get together with a group of friends and we go on a long 10-day ride and have this big adventure together, the same thing is ready. I mean, like that we're able to do that because of that. And both of those things, the routine running to the meeting and the big 10-day adventure, are only possible because of the habit that keeps the bike in good working order to be able to do that. And if you drop that habit, you can get away with running back and forth work meetings for a little bit. You can get away with a 10-day trip occasionally, but sooner or later you're going to pay for it. And then it's going to be more of an adventure than you expect.
Yeah, that's very true. And that's an excellent illustration of that. To circle back really quick to your point about the contrast, I think especially around the new year, there's just something really interesting to note. I've been seeing a lot of commentary because of the new year of people coming back from Christmas vacation, coming back to work, and realizing that, you know, a lot of people just took 2 weeks off of work and just had 2 weeks to enjoy Christmas and New Year's. And seeing a lot of people who, despite having had 2 weeks of vacation, a lot of people saying, I've come back from having 2 weeks where I was supposed to be resting and, you know, feeling rejuvenated, and coming back from that, I just feel completely dysregulated and I feel even more tired and, you know, just I feel super discouraged. And I think that there's quite a few contributing factors to that, but I think that one of them is just the fact that a lot of the time we end up in periods like a 2-week vacation, letting a lot of those daily habits slide. And I think it affects just our overall outlook and how we feel about life on a day-to-day basis. It affects that a lot more than we really realize in the moment, when you get up at a certain time every day, even, and then you let that slip. And, you know, I think, my wife and I were just commenting on this the other day, is that just, you know, we were sleeping in a lot during the break, and, you know, we've started getting up at our normal hour again this week and just realized, oh my goodness, okay, this is a pretty big adjustment. And, you know, now we're finally kind of getting back into the groove of things. But there's something to be said for just the overall, like, the steadiness that it gives you, that when you step away from it, it gives you perspective on, like, just how beneficial that really can be for you.
Are you a morning person or evening person, David?
I have forced myself to become more of a morning person thanks to my commitment to running, but generally I am definitely an evening person.
I'm definitely a night person. So consequently, when we have break, which we just did, then I stay up later and later, and then I sleep in later and later. But interestingly, I don't like sleeping in anymore. And so I don't know if I'm a morning person. And so it was that there's this general grumpiness and dissatisfaction because I was annoyed myself for staying up late the night before. Then I got up later in the morning the next morning, and then I feel like I wasted half the day. And so there was almost a desire to come back to a more normal work schedule because it forces me to return to that place where I feel like I'm most productive. Yeah, there's so if we take a kind of a practical turn here, there's some discussion behind it. But I think this is an illustration of something bigger, which is, you know, it's January. Everybody's talking about fitness and everybody's talking about habits and everybody's talking about New Year's resolutions and all those kinds of things. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's lots good about it. But we also know that everybody will stop talking about it in February and then very little things will happen. And so it's worth asking, why is that? And what we've just been doing here is something that I think is important, which is looking a little bit past and deeper. And we try to talk about this a lot in Unbound, is that, you know, I use it in some of my classes. You need to know the game that's being played inside the game. You know, the game that you don't know about. You need to know the rules that most people don't understand. You need to know the things. And this isn't secret knowledge. It's not something mystifying. It's just that curiosity to go a little deeper and say, why? Why are habits? And so I think it's from a practical standpoint, your habits will be much more effective if you understand the ideas that are driving the habits. If you come to New Year's and say, well, it's New Year's resolution time. There's some things I didn't like last year. I'm going to take some habit changes. I'm going to make some habit changes. Maybe they'll change, but generally, you know, evidence shows that that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. If you go the next step further and say, why would these habits be helpful? What is it I'm trying to accomplish? What is it I'm trying to live for? And so my example is that for an embarrassingly long time, I had this idea, and you know, I don't know that I lived a busier life than most people, but I had a family, I had a job with a lot of responsibilities, I had some other volunteer responsibilities, had some stuff going right. And so, you know, I'd look at my calendar and like next 5 weekends would be full or something like that. They weren't full of like working in the salt mines. I mean, they might be full of, you know, doing something fun with the kids or something like that. But right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you'd have to get up at a certain time and all that stuff. And I'd start to think, boy, if I just had a free day, if I just had a day with nothing to do. And I'd like in my mind, I'd entertain this sort of idea of this free day that'd be so nice. Right. Well, then the free day would come. Well, what would happen during the free day? Well, I'd have stayed up the night before because I knew the free day was coming. You know, I now sleep in to 9 o'clock in the morning. I get up and I slowly kind of meander downstairs and I kind of finishing breakfast about the time we should be finished, you know, starting lunch. Well, then there's not really much time to do something. So I sort of piddle around, do some type of things. Well, then I have lunch. And then it's like mid-afternoon. I'm like, you know, it would have been fun. It would have been fun to go canoeing. but now it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, right? Like you have to load the canoe and all that kind of stuff. And it took me a long time to realize that, hey, this wonderful free day that you want, you end up being so dissatisfied with that. You end up feeling so much like a wasted day with that. And yet, if you exert a little discipline, if you go, you know, got a free Saturday coming up. What would I like to do with that free Saturday? Well, I'd like to go on a hike or I'd like to go on a canoe trip. Okay, well, we're going to go here. We're going to get up at a certain time. We're going to load the canoe. We're going to do it. And then all of a sudden, I come home with a story and something interesting. And like we did something, and it was a very fulfilling day. And so it's the same kind of thing. Like, what is it that you want to get? Do you want to have a deeper appreciation for the commonplace, you know, which I think helps you in just general life satisfaction overall? Well, some of that involves, can you automate the things that you have to do? And then can you do that in such a way that it gives you the perspective, the ability, maybe even the freedom to enjoy the quality of those moments? And so that now we've got an idea that's driving the habit. Now we've got a reason for why we're doing it. And now instead of saying, well, I'm going to do this because people say it's good to do whatever. Now it's like what you're doing, you have a reason for. And in my experience, when you can connect action to reason or reason to action, either way you want to think about that, that's a much more powerful situation. It's like, well, I'm getting up and doing this routine. David, we talked about running recently, right? So I'm getting up in the way that I get up and I do my early morning routine and the habits that I have and get ready and go running because, okay, why? Why do you get up early in the morning and go running? So David, right now, why do you get up early in the morning and go running?
Because I am training for a marathon and I want to make sure that I am ready to be able to do that when the time comes.
So, you know, when you're not training for a marathon, do you get up and run as consistently?
Not as consistently, no.
I mean, because it's a habit, you run more often, but do you run as fast? Do you run on a training plan?
Not nearly as strict of a plan, no.
Yeah. So there's even there's an example of like, you know, I have a reason for this. And now, so how long is your training plan for the marathon? How long will you be on specific training for this marathon?
I think in total, I planned for about like 20 weeks of training.
Yeah, so 20 weeks of training. So, you know, half a year of of a routine and a habit that was likely to transfer. You could quit cold turkey after your marathon. More likely, it'll be easier for you to keep going because you've sort of established that habit. But the reason you established the habit in the first place was like, I have a date circled in the calendar. A marathon's coming up. I'm going to really pay a lot if I don't train for this. And
I quite literally paid for the race registration and I didn't spring for the refundable option. So it's like, listen, like it or not, March 22nd, I'm doing this thing and I want to be ready to do it.
Yeah. So you've got this kind of structure around those habits. And so, yeah, as you're thinking about people saying, oh, you should have new good habits to build habits. Yes, all true. Not argue with that at all. But maybe take that extra step and press a little bit and figure out why you're doing the habits. What's the reason for them? And then understand a little bit of this structure of like having good habits in your day ends up giving you a structure and rhythm to life. And that's good both for your day-to-day life. It'll tend to run a little better, but also for the times when you do something different.
Is your high school senior's final year feeling overwhelming? You want them prepared, but without all the extra pressure. That's where Explore by Unbound comes in. Explore gives students coaching, hands-on projects, and courses in life and study skills, plus Christian worldview training and optional dual credit. They'll graduate with confidence, resilience, and clarity about their next steps. Enrollment prices increase soon, so don't wait. Learn more at beunbound.us/explore.
So, David, you got rhythm to life. What's the last big different thing that you did?
The last big different thing that I did. Can you give me a little bit more specific on that?
Yeah, what had you out of your routine? So you get up in the morning, you go running, you come back, you go to work, you eat lunch, you work, you do something in the evening, whatever it is, right? I mean, like you got a fairly normal day. When was the last time you had, you know, a couple of days that weren't normal at all?
I mean, definitely over Christmas break, there was a lot of days in a row that were very abnormal and that, you know, I would, for example, like we went on like a couple of day trips and just like went out to like someplace completely different and just like, and you know, my wife and I just enjoyed a day like exploring someplace new.
Yeah. So you have and you know, why? Okay. I'm going to take a little risk here, David. I think you liked your job. So that is helpful.
I feel pretty okay about it.
Okay. So I don't want to get too awkward here, but so I think that I wanted to say the statement, it is different if you have a job that you hate. David and I have jobs that we like, right? So we feel like the work that we do is important and it makes a difference. And so we enjoy doing it. And so it's not like going to work every day is going to the salt mines, you know, that we're just dreading it. So in general, that means the inference there is that during your normal everyday life, David, you know, what's your satisfaction rating on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being deliriously happy and 1 being, you know, sadly miserable, you know, where are you?
I'd say a solid 3.5 to 4 generally.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're on the plus side of being a satisfied person. And yet you have this routine break, right? And so you're doing day trips and stuff like that. And so, you know, why do you enjoy that? Like you have a pretty decent life. Why is that? So I think you'd probably say it was better in some ways, right? I mean, like you enjoyed vacation, I'm assuming. You know, so you enjoyed your vacation. It's like, well, that was a lot of fun. Well, why? Why was it? Why do you think it was better?
Well, because I think part of it was just because it was something that we wouldn't have normally gotten to do. It was something that was unique and we got to go and experience something new and learn new things. And I do generally think that if those kinds of things were just the things that we were doing every single day of our lives, like, sure, there would still be really fun elements of it, but instead of it being a 5 out of 5 day where it was an absolute blast and we come home and we talk about it to our friends, instead it probably would be closer to that 3.5 rating of just like, okay, I think there was some cool stuff to it, but you know, it was just another day. And so just having the contrast of those two things is really helpful and I think helped us to enjoy that more.
And I might even state that as much fun as that was and not in any way insinuating anything about your relationship with your wife or anything else. If that continued on to be constant, here's the interesting thing. I think, first of all, it would lose some of its glamour because it would become routine instead of exceptional. So you'd have a little bit of the shine come off there. Mm-hmm. And then there's another piece here that's a little bit even more important, which is, let's say every day, you know, for 6 months, you were able to just take day trips with your wife. Now, that sounds awesome, and I'm sure you'd have a good time, and you'd have a great time. And yet, I think my guess is, and my experience is, there'd be a deep level of dissatisfaction that would crawl into that, not because of your relational time, not because of the fun, but because at some level you'd start to go, this is not productive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other reason that kind of is worth it to push these habits. And this comes into kind of a belief system that, you know, practically speaking, we're created beings and we're created with a purpose. And one of those things is to work, which is to be productive. And so at some level, humans are most satisfied when they are productive in some fashion. And you can see pretty endless examples of this, that people that are in kind of a constant vacation, you don't have to scratch the surface very long to find that misery is not very far beneath, right? You know, like that there starts to become a purposelessness to it that crawls in and becomes really painful. And so habits, you know, if you start to look at those base ideas that the quality of a mundane life is actually good. Well, why is the quality of a mundane life good? And I say mundane meaning normal, right? Like that there's something deeply satisfying about normal life. Well, why is it deeply satisfying? Well, at some level, it's probably tied to the ability to be productive. And so for most of us, productivity stems from some level of consistency. And habits allow us to have some level of consistency. And now that kind of paints a little bit of a different picture, right? So you're created to work. You work best when your productivity has some deeply satisfying aspect to it. You're most productive when you have some level of consistency. Habits allow you to build that level of consistency. And that also allows you to take advantage of these moments when you get to do something totally different, have the vacation, go on the trip, do something there. Habits allow you to kind of transition into that as well, to have a baseline sort of foundation there. And it does two things. It allows you to manage that, just like having your bike maintained, you know, allows you to go on the long trip. But it also allows you to appreciate your normal, quote unquote, life because of the contrast. And so the trip is important because it's a trip and because it's relational building and because it's exciting and because it's different. But it's also important because it gives you a contrast that allows you to come back and appreciate that which you do on a more regular basis. Now, not all elements of those are always perfectly balanced. There may be times in your life when you're working a job that's making you miserable. There may be times in your life when, you know, you're being productive isn't paying the bills. And so that can be highly stressful. There comes a time in life when being productive is great, but you just burn out and need a break and you need to do something different. Those things all happen. But it's worth sort of stepping back and understanding that kind of broader shape of reality and what you're meant for and what you're built for, and then put the habits in that context. And again, now you can kind of, you know, engineer your habits around that, knowing why you're doing the things that you're doing.
Yeah. And I think even on top of that, just an underlying theme that I've noticed through all of what we've been talking about is just that there is just such a purposefulness to building habits. And the thing that makes things like New Year's resolutions and how to build effective daily habits so alluring is just the fact that they are so purposeful and that they are designed to accomplish something. And I think that's something that, especially in our modern society, is something that we have developed the luxury of not having to be nearly as purposeful with a lot of our day-to-day lives. It's easier than ever to just be on just like an automatic setting and just drifting through life and not asking the hard questions of, is what I am doing actually beneficial? Am I spending my time in a way that is wise? And just like actually thinking about the why behind it is a really powerful piece. And if you are somebody who is able to look at some of the little areas of life and is able to consciously, instead of subconsciously, ask, how can I make sure that this is well taken care of so that I can live a more purposeful life, so that I can go and do the things that I am, you know, wanting to spend more time on or are more important to me or I think are going to be more helpful for the people that I care about. When you're able to look at life critically and actively rather than passively through that lens, it gives you a major, major advantage over a lot of the general population that you'll end up seeing today.
All right, David, exposure time. What new habit are you working on?
Oh, man. The one that I have really fallen off of the bandwagon of recently is probably one of the most important ones, and that is just having daily time in...
Oh, okay.
That one I'm pretty solid on still.
Okay, just checking. So, all right.
I would argue this one is almost, is I would say, even more important, and that is daily scripture reading. That's one that I've fallen off of the bandwagon of recently, and I had a system for a while that worked really well for me, and just thanks to just some other changes in my life routine, that system doesn't work anymore, and so now I'm in a position where I need to find a new system that does work for me on a regular basis. And so, like, as of right now, I'm trying out an app that is just like giving me just like a sample, like scripture plans that are just at least giving me a starting point into scripture. And then I'm just trying to do some of my own reading aside from what it gives me. But yeah, that's one that as taken a decent amount of thought into how do I create something entirely new that works in my new daily schedule and how do I make sure to work that in, because I know that it's something that's really important and I can feel very tangibly a difference when I am consistent with it. But yeah, it's cool. Something I'm currently working on.
Well, I expect that can pay some pretty big dividends if you get that habit squared away. So.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, your turn. What about you?
So for me, it's about some physical stuff. So I feel like I battled some injuries that I maybe shouldn't have if I had done a better job taking care of my health last year. And so more consistent strength training. I'm trying to just work in some real basics. So 100 squats, bodyweight squats a day and 50 push-ups a day, starting in the morning and then at some point either at lunch or dinner. And then I felt like I watched a video that caught me with this clickbait title. It said, your brain is dehydrated, and made some arguments about not being hydrated enough. Pretty sure that I wasn't hydrated enough. So trying to be a little more consistent on, you know, drinking water, which I felt like maybe those things connected. And the video claimed that I'd have more energy. Felt like I definitely needed some more energy. So I thought I would give that a shot and see what happened. But just trying to, it's one thing to say, I'm going to drink more water. And it's another to sort of like rework your routines so that that water drinking kind of falls into some different places. And so, what is it? 3 days into the week. So that's the first full week of the month. And so far going well. Check again with me in July and we'll see what happens.
Sounds good. Hey, who knows? Maybe we'll have to do a follow-up of this episode later in the year and just see how we're doing and reflect on how to come back from not doing well in habits or reflect on what made those habits successful.
I'll be querying you about all kinds of scripture trivia and you can be asking me how ripped I am. So.
Sounds like a deal. I'm in for it.
All right. Well, we wish you the best in all of your habit forming, and hopefully this thinking about habits in terms of having the purpose and ideas behind it will make a difference. And so as you are looking at the new year and thinking about ways you might want to do the year differently, we might also challenge you to think about a whole new routine and something different that will maybe give you some contrast in your life. And that would be to participate in one of the things that we do here at Unbound. So go to beunbound.us, check out our high school programs, especially check out our post-high school flagship program, Ascend. We are gearing up this week for Ridgeline. It is definitely a habit-breaking type of place. Lots of different things happen there. This is the event of the year that the staff goes into with great trepidation because we're not entirely sure what's going to happen. Just for the record, the things that happen are generally really good things, but you're just never really quite sure. And so we'll be talking about that a little bit more in the weeks to come, but we're getting ready for that. So go to beunbound.us to check that out. And in the meantime, be unbound.